Let's hear the Lord say tonight, I will have no idols before me. I will have no idols before me. I will have no idols before me. No other gods before me. Nothing before me. Nothing before me. No idols, no idols. No idols. Destroy those idols. Lay down those idols. I will have no other idols before me. No other idols. For yes, I'm a consuming fire. And yes, I am holy. But these are not just words to me. It's who I am, says the Lord. Clean out your house in a new way. Thank you, Lord. And as I come to purge, don't deny me access. For there's a sweeping that's coming to your life, and you've thought, oh, I've given up too much already. But for those who are hungry and those who are pressing in, there's a new level, a new sweeping. So lay your heart open bare to me. Lay every room open, every door open. Give me access, says the Lord. New levels of purging. But only if you want it. Do not miss what I am doing. Do not miss it. It's your choice, but don't miss it.
It's interesting, the word that the Lord gave us during praise and worship concerning idols and His admonition that we are to have no kind of idol whatsoever in our lives. And that really ties into the message tonight. Found it very interesting. So let's start in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And to give you a moment to turn over there. Proverbs chapter 8. And let's just read two verses. Beginning of verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth I hate. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. When God says He hates something, that should really stick out to us. Because, look, you don't want God to hate anything you're doing. Because when God starts hating something you're doing, you're in trouble. Big trouble. We understand that there is grace. But grace is like a dead-end street. Sooner or later, you're going to run out. What that means is you are just going to keep running away from God until you run past that grace. The people that do that, there won't be any repentance. There won't. If you go that far, you have sealed yourself off, seared your conscience to conviction, anything. And your destiny, it won't be with God. But now look over in Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. That word lowly, you could say with the humble. With the humble is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Notice, pride has to come. In other words, it's not a starting point. It is the result of progression. So he said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. I look at Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I want to be well-advised. Well-advised means you're willing to receive rebuke and correction. And he says, only by pride cometh contention. And what that means is, in part, in every church where there has been a church split, it's all because of pride. All because of pride. No other reason. And he says, with pride, when pride is there, you're going to end up with contention, division. Look in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Just think of it like this. You know, a prideful, egotistical attitude before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride really is the most destructive force within a human. Because pride takes a person to the point of refusing instruction. You begin, in the New Testament it talks about, you know, thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Well, that's pride. And in Proverbs chapter 29, turn over there. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So again, we're seeing a contrast between pride and humility. Repeatedly, now there's more about pride that we could have read tonight, but you know, this pretty well sums it up, what these verses. Repeatedly, God is warning us against pride. Repeatedly. Repeatedly. You know, think about this. I'm just going to create, I'm going to make up a scenario. Okay, you have a praise team. And the standard for the praise team is no t-shirts, no blue jeans, no sneakers. And then there's somebody on the praise team that shows up with t-shirt, jeans, blue jeans, and sneakers. And the praise team leader says, you're not supposed to be wearing that. I mean, you know the standards here in this church. Well, yeah, but I can praise God no matter what I wear. I mean, you follow what I'm saying? And then that person gets mad because they're told, well, here, you know, just the way it is. And likewise, in some churches, the praise team, and I've seen this on video, on YouTube. In some churches, the praise team, everybody on the praise team, you know, your shirt, your slacks, or a skirt, or whatever, everybody's supposed to wear black. Everybody wears black. There are no exceptions. Black. Now, you don't have to wear the same black shirt or the same black slacks or whatever. Everybody wears black. That's the way it is. And really, that's not a bad idea because black tends to hide what really shouldn't be shown. And I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm just saying black is a very neutral color when it comes to what people wear. Well, then somebody shows up, you know, wearing pink and green. I'm talking electric green, all right? They want to be, who in the world would do that? and they're told you can't be up on the stage. And well, why not? I can praise God no matter what I wear. But here, the standard is, well, you people, you're just trying to control everyone's life, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's pride. Talent, listen, you need people with less talent but who are humble than you do super talent and pride. And listen, I'm going to tell you what, my years of being involved in church, like 40 plus years, 42, 43 years, I'm telling you, when it comes to pride, praise team members can be some of the worst. And I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to tell you, I've seen it. How come you're not singing this song? I want to sing this song. I mean, oh my goodness. Anyway, pride will destroy you. Now, I want to show you, give you an example of this. Turn over to Daniel chapter 3. And we are definitely headed somewhere special tonight in this. At least I think it's special. And since I'm the pastor, I know you'll agree with me, right? No pride in that statement, right? Well, anyway, here's what's happened. Israelites have been taken captive into Babylon. And that includes Daniel. He's part of this group. Well, Daniel has proven himself. They didn't eat the king's, fatty foods and drink the wine and all this other. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has a dream. And he doesn't understand this dream. What in the world is going on? He has his magicians or whatever you want to call them. We don't know what the dream is. Well, then Daniel, he says, let me pray about this and God will let me know. So Daniel prays, and he goes back to the king, and he gives the king the understanding of the dream. And in chapter 2, verse 46 of Daniel, it says, "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king." So what's happened is, when it talks about Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshiped Daniel and let's do oblations, it wasn't that Nebuchadnezzar was exalting Daniel above God. That was just a custom thing they did back then, which is a little over the top, but it's what they did. But Daniel gets a promotion. Nebuchadnezzar's the king, and Daniel is kind of like vice king, all right? But he's got a lot of power and a lot of authority, and Nebuchadnezzar says, "Look, your God is the God of gods. Your God, Daniel, he's the one." Well, we jump over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, verse 1, "Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me." Now stop right there. In my opinion, this is one of the most incredible chapters in the entire Bible. This is not Daniel writing. This is Nebuchadnezzar. This is the king of Babylon writing this. It's incredible. Well, he says, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion from generation to generation." Well, there's a lot of Christians need to believe this way. And he says, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my head and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I the decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and great, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew, and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. That phrase seven times, it means 7 years. Let 7 years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now there, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. In other words, this dream made a severe impact. This astonished, he knew. You ever had something happen on the inside? I mean, it's almost like you can feel God doing something. All right, that's what he's talking about. He was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till 7 years pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now look at this. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Now stop right there. He had the dream. Daniel gave him the interpretation. Now this is a pretty serious interpretation. A whole year passes. An entire year passes. And the king, verse 30, spake and said, well, at the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, at the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Now, he had the dream, and Daniel gave him the interpretation. And he says, here's what's coming. But he said, verse 27, Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. It's almost like Daniel is saying, okay, here's what's going to happen if you don't repent. If you don't do what's right, here's what's going to happen. Well, Nebuchadnezzar heard it. Now, he knew Daniel was an interpreter of dreams, and he knew that Daniel had a walk with God. But a year passes. And obviously, Nebuchadnezzar kind of forgot about the dream, forgot about the interpretation, and he's standing one day, and he's looking out, and he says, Look what I have done. This is all about me. I'm so great. And while the word was still in his mouth, voice, God speaks to him. In other words, this is amazing to me. God bypasses Daniel and speaks directly to Nebuchadnezzar. Now let me paraphrase it. Nebuchadnezzar, I warned you a year ago. I warned you. I gave you a dream, and I had Daniel, my servant, interpret that dream for you and warn you what was coming if you didn't get your act together. And now here you are. Forgot about that, didn't you, Nebuchadnezzar? And now this dream's going to come to pass. This judgment is going to fall on you. And from that moment, it says from that very hour, Nebuchadnezzar's mind, he began to lose his sanity. Now, it says here in verse 33 that he was driven from men. He ate grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, meaning he's outside. He's... And his hair was grown like eagle's feathers. I mean, his hair is all, you know, dangly and matted and just gross and disgusting. And his fingernails were like bird's claws. This guy was scary. No wonder he was driven from men. Nobody wanted to be around him. But now here's what's interesting. For 7 years, what he did made sense to him. Now think about it. If it didn't, why would he be out there eating grass? Why would he be out there all mangy looking? It made sense to him in that condition. Because he allowed pride to enter, to come in. The pride impacted his mind. And he exalted himself, and from that point on, his mind left him. No, what we would say, his mind left him, but not to him. It made sense to him. To him, it was normal to eat grass. To him, it was normal to look like this. For 7 years. 7 years. What's interesting is that, I mean, this is 7 years of time, right? In what? Three verses? Four verses? 7 years pass? I just wonder, what in the world was Daniel doing during that time? Did he tell anybody, look, at the end of 7 years, this thing's going to turn around. But we have to, you know, just keep standing strong. Because Daniel's the one that gave the interpretation and said in 7 years. So at the end of 7 years, in verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar says, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I begin to praise God and honor Him. So he goes home. He cuts his fingernails, gets a haircut, cleans up, has a decent meal, and then he begins praising God, and he says in verse 37 that I will praise and extol the honor, and praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase, bring low. What we just read over in Proverbs. Nebuchadnezzar lived it. His mind went bonkers. And what he did made sense to him. Now, we sit here and think, how could that make sense to anybody? When pride has corrupted your way of thinking, yeah, things will make sense to you that don't make sense to other people. Things will make sense to you, or things will make sense to them that we think totally weird. But what we know makes sense to them, we're nuts. We're the ones that have the mental problem. We're the ones who are weird. We're the ones who ought to be locked up. But we're the normal ones. Because as long as you keep pride at bay, your mind will not be impacted by pride. Now, that doesn't mean that... I know that there are people who battle physical somethings, chemistry imbalance in their body and whatever, and they begin to... Have mental issues. Okay, I understand. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is how pride can have an absolute impact on the mindset of a human being. And we just read it verse after verse in Proverbs, and here we're seeing it in action. It absolutely happened. And this isn't the only time something like this happened, as far as Scripture is concerned. Look over in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'll give you a moment to turn over there because it's very important for you to see this. In Acts chapter 12, verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, I did a little reading on this because when you just read verse 23, there's a lot that's going on in verse 23 that is just summarized by this verse. You know, it says, the angel of the Lord immediately smote him, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Okay, now, if you just read that verse, it sounds like he's standing there, you know, yes, it's the voice of a God, whatever. And then all of a sudden, boom, he falls over and he's all eaten up by worms. All right, well, no. It's not the way it worked. Yeah, thank God. That would be gross. Make a movie out of that one. Here, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, here's what happened. Concerning Herod, that he did neither rebuke them, the people, nor reject their impious flattery. A severe pain arose in his belly and began in a most violent manner. And when he was quite worn out by the pain in his belly for 5 days, he departed this life in the 54th year of his age and in the 7th year of his reign. So it didn't happen instantly, pretty close. So he had like intestinal, you know, tapeworms and all kinds of stuff that caused so much problem that he was in absolute agony in his stomach. But this stuff, you know, it was eating him up. I mean, this is gross, all right? And it lasted like that. For 5 days. 5 days. I don't know. You know, let's just say this. If you are ever going through that kind of agony for one day, cry out to God and ask Him, is there anything I need to repent of? You know, please tell me, God. And, you know, I'm only partially joking on that one. Anyway, he died. He died. Why? Pride. Because he should have told the people, no, I'm a human. I'm just a man like you. I don't have the voice of a God. You know, we need to worship God, Jehovah. Well, he didn't do that. Pride. Pride. Now look over in Isaiah 14. And we'll see the point of origin of all this. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, this is a prophetic declaration concerning Lucifer, who became Satan. Beginning in verse 11, all they shall speak, or no, verse 11, I'm sorry, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy veils, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Are you seeing pride in this? And he says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit. This is the point of origin for all pride, right here. This is where it started. And once man fell, you know, Genesis 3, it became a whole lot easier for humans to allow pride to come. But this is where it started. And so what we see then is pride caused Lucifer's fall. Now he's going to hell, the lake of fire, forever. No chance. You know, there's some people that teach the day is coming that Satan is going to be redeemed and that he'll spend eternity with God in heaven, that nobody's going to spend eternity in hell. I'm thinking, you know what? That is not what Revelation says. It's talking like forever and ever. So anyway, this is where Lucifer is headed. Now, why is he headed there? Because he's lied to people? No. Because of the pride. I will be like God. I will be better than God. I will have a throne like God. On and on it went. That pride is what condemned him to hell. Well, then we see with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, thankfully, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, his mind returned to him, but for 7 years, my goodness, who would want to live like that? But again, his mind was so corrupted by the pride, he thought that's just life. That's just how it is. It made sense to him. And then with Herod, we saw what happened to him. Pride led to his destruction, led to his death. And unless he repented over those 5 days of agony, he's in hell. Pride opened the door for Nebuchadnezzar's mind to be corrupted. And here's where we're headed in this. It is exactly the same thing that is happening right now before our very eyes among liberals and politicians who want to exalt themselves above the throne of God. It is exactly the same thing. Take the Ten Commandments out of the schools. Take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. We know better. No, you don't. I mean, think about this. What is so wrong about not killing? You know, thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, take the Ten Commandments out. Well, you mean that killing thing, that's okay now? Oh, no, no. We'll put you in jail for doing that. Well, then why don't you leave it in the schools and the courtroom to warn people? Why don't you let them know? What's wrong with being faithful to your spouse? What is wrong with telling people don't steal? What's wrong with telling people don't lie? Don't lie. Because you bring them into court and you say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth? And I mean, come on. You don't want people to lie. So the Ten Commandments, yeah, that's a good thing. Even if you don't believe in God. Even if that first one, you know, thou shalt have no other gods. Well, I don't believe in any other God. But I do believe thou shalt not murder. And I do believe thou shalt not steal. I do believe thou shalt not lie. Okay, you know what? What's so bad about that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But pride says, because it came from God, get it out of here. Get it out. Even though we will put you in jail if you violate those same laws. Get it out of here. You take a look. Pride says, we know better how to handle the unborn babies than you. Well, you know, God says that children are the heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is His reward. No. You don't understand. We know what's best for the woman's body and that thing that is in her. That's pride. It's pride to deny that it's human life. Okay, when a dog is pregnant, what's it carrying? Puppies. So it's a dog with dogs on the inside. Yeah. Well, when an elephant is pregnant, what's it got? You know, a giraffe? No. In other words, everybody agrees that when a living creature is pregnant, it's pregnant with one of its own kind. Until we get to humans. Now see, that makes no sense whatsoever. Absolutely none. That's pride. Absolutely, totally, 100% pride. That's what we're up against. You say, well, I thought we were up against, you know, spiritual. We are, all right? But the demons and, you know, the powers, the principalities, and they want to feed that pride. They want to infect people with thoughts of pride to lead them away from God. And that is exactly what we're seeing happening here. It's pride. The same thing. What the demons are doing to influence people, politicians, liberals, and there might be a conservative Democrat somewhere, I don't know. But what the demons are doing, what Satan is leading them to do, it's the same thing he did to draw 1/3 of the angels to him and get them condemned with him. No difference whatsoever. The exact same thing. In fact, Satan, when he appeared to Jesus, he said, Look at all the kingdoms. Tell you what, I'll give them to you. Just worship me. Pride. Pride. You worship me. If you be the Son of God. You go, wait a second. I just got baptized, came up out of the water, got filled with the Holy Ghost. God spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son, and you're questioning me about this? You were there. You heard it. You know that I'm the Son of God. You're trying to do to me what you did to Adam. Well, guess what? It ain't working. No. No. You are to worship the Lord your God and nobody else. Pride. Now I'm going to throw this out. And I'm asking you, please, do not leave here and tell people, I said this is the why. All right? Is it possible that President Biden's diminished mental capacities are a result of pride? Is it possible? Yes. Based on what we've seen in Scripture with Nebuchadnezzar, the king, all right? With Herod? Yeah, it's very possible. I'm not saying it is. Absolutely, I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying that is the reason, but I am saying it's possible. Absolutely possible. Because when pride cometh, here comes destruction. Here comes an abasement. Here it comes. And you know what makes this even worse? It's all the Democrats rejoicing that they finally forced Joe Biden to say, I'm not going to run. Because they think they're going to be able to do better. No, they won't. They'll just do worse. They'll just make everything worse. But see, they think they're making everything better. When they make all these liberal laws and they say, you know, whatever these laws are, all the corruption and all this stuff, in their minds, this is the right thing to do. When they are promoting what is essentially socialism / communism, in their minds, it makes sense to do this because it's pride, absolute pride. This is what we're up against. Now, for us, God's given warnings in Proverbs about pride. And he's telling us, you better not let this happen. And if you look over in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And here's how we can avoid getting caught up in pride. Because it goes on in churches. Pastors get caught up in pride. Church members get caught up in pride. And here it says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. In other words, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Respect other people. He's not talking about everybody bosses everybody around. It's talking about realize, look, everybody around you, talking just about a church here, all right? Everybody around you is equally loved by God. Everybody around you has a call of God. Everybody around you has a purpose of God in their lives. And so he says, look, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resisteth the proud. You don't want to be in a position where you're up against God and he is resisting you. That's what happened with Lucifer. You don't want to be in that kind of position. And there are times in my life, I'll be praying things or whatever, and I'll talk to God about it. I say, look, I don't want this to come across as pride. Or, you know, I try to guard myself against this while at the same time maintaining what is required of a person who's the pastor of a church. Well, I know that if I allow myself to get into pride, it's not going to go well. And for each of us, we have to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. See, we can become our own idol. That warning the Lord gave, we can become our own idol. Consider this. I don't really need, now this is not the conscious thinking. I don't really need to spend much time in prayer or in the Bible. I'm not in sin. I'm doing okay. Everything's all right. That is pride. Because Jesus said, the sower sows the word. God makes it very clear that until we press in to Him, we're babes. The Apostle Paul wrote about that. We're babes, and we don't know anything. Not the way we should. We think we know. That's where you end up with a lot of stuff in these denominations and other churches, to where they come up with their own theology. And they tell you, oh no, it's from the Bible. Well, no, it's not. We have to humble ourselves before God. God, you know better. And if you say that I need to pray, then obviously I must need to pray. If you say that I need your word, well, then obviously I must need your word. I mean, on and on it goes. Whatever he says. And pride says, I don't need it. I'm doing okay. Pride allows everything else to come before God. Now look, we've all gone through times like this. I get it. We've all gone through what you call a gut check, to where maybe like Nebuchadnezzar, his mind returned unto him, and all of a sudden we realize, man, I haven't been doing much. I haven't been doing much praying. I haven't been into the Word the way I'm supposed to. I mean, this has got to change. And that's where, you know, your flesh says, I don't think so. Because I'm really comfortable being in charge. I'm really comfortable being a partner to pride and controlling your life. And at that point, you know, the gloves come off. And you and the flesh and pride, you got to go at it. Like Paul said, you know, bring your body into subjection to who you are in Christ. It's for all of us. Me, you, everybody. We have to guard ourselves against pride. And I'll give you another example here in closing of how pride can manifest. These politicians out there, this stuff that has, you know, went on with, you know, President Biden and Vice President Harris and some of the others. People, I wish they'd just die and go to hell. You know, that's pride. That is pride. Because what you're saying is, Jesus isn't good enough for them. They don't deserve Jesus. That's pride. You deserved Him, but they don't. Seriously? Come on. The blood of Jesus was shed for all of us, including those who are in opposition to Him, want to stand up against His Word. Okay, that's pride. And we can't allow ourselves to get drawn in. You know, this may sound really crazy, but I have really been feeling sorry, much sympathy for Joe Biden, because, you know, people that he trusted turned on him like a pack of wolves. Now, I know that his policies, I know that, you know, so many of them were just terrible and wrong, but still, how would you like to be like that? Here you are, the President of the United States, and people are criticizing you right and left, making fun of you, and in your mind, you think you're doing good for the country. And then your inner circle begins turning on you. People that have said, yeah, we're there with you, we got your back, and now all of a sudden, they're telling you, you need to step down, you need to quit, you need to... And credit, that's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. And I really felt sorry for him, because he might feel like, you know, his wife and his children are the only people he has left in this life. That's horrible. Nobody needs to go through that. And I prayed for him. You know, Father, encourage him. Even though he did a lot of wrong stuff, still he needs Jesus. Visit him. Your presence. May he have, you know, angelic visitations, whatever. Just, God, I don't want him to feel like this. I want him to know the joy of the Lord. I want him to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm not going to speak bad about him like that. I'll be in a disagreement with the policies. But for him, you need to know God's heart is broken for him. And all the others that aren't walking with him, but yet trying to lead this country with a mindset that's been corrupted. We have to stay humble before God. And we have to keep pressing into Him. He needs us in that place of humility before Him so He can use us in the outpouring and revival. So folks, listen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And keep pressing into Him. And ask Him. Pray, Father, if I start getting into any kind of pride, help me see it the way you see it so I can repent quickly, make it right, and then keep going forward.